Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of Greg Crawford on Sports Business. And we do this show every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. But reminder, if you can't listen live, it's podcast forever. We got a lot of people tonight listening around the world, so we appreciate that very much. I am Greg Crawford. I host this show each week. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops, or you can go to Kiyokawa Crawford Sports Management and find out what we do there. And Kiyokawa is spelled K-I-Y-O-K-A-W-A. And we'll be glad. Give us a call. Give us an email. And we're always glad to talk sports or anything, the things that we do in the business world. But tonight, I'm really excited about this because I've always enjoyed watching this person coach. First time I've interviewed him, Kip Iohn, the head men's basketball coach at Willamette University. And, of course, it's always fun to talk to somebody from Willamette because when I went to Linfield, Kip, Willamette was the big rival in everything. Lewis and Clark thought they were. But they were right. They were peanuts compared to Willamette. So how do you like that, Kip? And good evening.
Hey,
thanks for being on.
I like it. A Bearcat and a Wildcat talk, and I appreciate you having me on. It's not often the Cardinal and Gold and the Purple get together, but excited to be on the show, and thank you very much for the invite.
My pleasure, and we'll have you on often, okay? How's that sound? So
love it.
Because I really like the way you coach, and I like your team, and you know, let's just have a little recap, Kip, of 14-15. You guys had a really good year, and I really like it, Kip, when teams or players just seem to get better. And your team, from November, seemed to get better as the year went on.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, I think that's, you know, like every, I learned from Coach Gordy James, you know, who I was lucky enough to follow up with here. You got to have your team playing the best when it matters the most. And, you know, I had a great group of guys, great staff. And really, I think the big difference for us was just the belief system and a kind of a confidence in what we were doing. The guys really bought into our identity to play our butts off and guard the basketball and play some defense, and it translated into, you know, as you mentioned, a great year for us and really a turnaround bounce-back year as, you know, we struggled through a couple tough seasons, and it was fun to see the smiles on their faces when the scoreboard read the right way.
Kip, a great history at Willamette of graduates. You've got a law school there. You've got great academics like every school in the Northwest Conference. Plus, it's probably a real bonus to be in the capital of the state of Oregon. A lot of draw there for students, student-athletes. Talk a little bit about that aspect.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think every time we take, you know, a student-athlete and their families on a recruiting visit around campus, you know, you walk by outside of one of our newer academic buildings, Fort Hall, and you look across and there's the Golden Man in the state capitol. So that's always an easy sell. And sometimes you get lucky enough and the governor's eating lunch in the cafeteria at the same time you're taking them through. So it's definitely a unique setting for us. You know, we really like to take advantage of that, you know, the relationship we have with the capitol and, you know, the state government needing interns and summer job opportunities, job shadows. It's just right across the street, and they're going to come check the Bearcats out first for those opportunities. So, you know, before we get even into talking about basketball with a lot of our recruits, we've got that sell. And as you mentioned, the academic standard at Willamette is through the roof and a very high standard of quality and expectations. So, you know, lucky enough for me, I get to coach great kids. You know, just to get admitted to Willamette, you got to be doing a lot of things right in your life and have a great background and have some of your priorities in line. So, for me, it makes my life easy. I don't have to worry about them too much at night.
Yeah, and what a history of graduates and alumni. I mean, you know, it's too many to mention, but, you know, Willamette is steeped in tradition on the academic side without question.
Yeah, one, I think you go around campus, you see the Mark Hatfield Library, obviously a famous legislator from the state of Oregon, all the way through recently, you know, with Nick Simmons being an Olympian and a track and cross-country legend from Willamette, being all over the face of the Olympics and doing great things. And as you mentioned, throughout those two time frames, you know, you've got a Gloria James at the Hall of Fame coach. You've got the first female to score a point in a football game when Liz Heaston kicked an extra point against, unfortunately, I got to bring it up, the Wildcats of Linfield. Just a lot of things that have happened at Willamette. You know, we've got our Pearl Harbor team. Our football team was in Hawaii when the attacks on Pearl Harbor happened to kick off World War II, and did a lot of help on the islands when that happened. And just there's so many stories, and I think that stories of the people is what we really try to sell the kids on, that you're joining a tradition, not just in our hoops program, but a pretty amazing tradition and story of great people and a great family of Bearcats throughout history.
We're speaking with Kip Ione, the head men's coach, a basketball coach, does a tremendous job at Willamette University. We're going to have him often on the Greg Crawford on Sports Business program. We do this every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. But if you can't listen live, you can always, this is podcasted forever. Kip, you're going to have a new athletic, well, you have a new athletic director.
We do.
She's new on the job, Val Clary. It's an interesting situation. Of course, for people that don't know, her husband, Tim, is the head that you battled all year long for a playoff spot. But Val is very talented, and it's kind of probably good to have a person that knows basketball as your AD.
Well, you know, she's got a great perspective, absolutely, you know, her and TC, and it's amazing, you know, you bring up Tim Cleary at Pacific, obviously, ton of respect for the job he does, and, you know, off the floor, he and I are very close, we've developed a great relationship. It's not often you get that, especially as hard as all of us work, you know, to get the wins and losses during the season. It's fun to enjoy that close relationship with him. So I'd met Val a couple times, but she brings so much energy. And if she's just a people person, I think you can put her in any room, any environment, in whether it's in sports, academia, anything, and she's gonna command the room and get things done. So, you know, I was lucky enough to work for Dave Rigsby the last couple of years, and, you know, saw us through some tough seasons where a lot of places I probably wouldn't have kept my job. You know, so I'm eternally grateful to Mr. Rigsby for believing in what we thought was our vision for the program and seeing us through to this great year. And I'm super excited to have Val on board. I think what she brings to the table for not just hoops, but Bearcat athletics is just very, very exciting, and I can't wait to get rolling.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a great year, I'm sure, all around. Kip, speaking of the Northwest Conference and everything, of course, I love to kind of take my shots at them occasionally because I put my money where my mouth is. I support small college basketball, and the scheduling in the Northwest Conference is always a little bit controversial when it comes to basketball.
True. You know, I think there's some things that we've all talked about as coaches from both ends. You know, it's a tough league geographically, you know, with the Wits being as far off as they are to the east and us all the way in the south. You know, I think there's some things that happen as far as road trips and the back-to-backs that I think some of us would like to change. But, you know, we've got a commissioner that's going into her second year. There's a lot of conversations going on behind the scenes. I know a lot of us coaches in the Oregon region of the conference have been very vocal about some changes we'd like to see, whether or not that happens. You know, that's part of college athletics, and some decisions get made in rooms that we're not a part of, and you got to live with them sometimes. So I think there's some momentum towards some things changing to make it more equitable. But at the same time, you know, it's a great league. There's tremendous coaching at all nine institutions. It makes my life very stressful, but I always tell my basketball players, if you're a basketball junkie, come watch just a weekend of Northwest Conference hoops. You'll see every style imaginable, and all of them very effective. So I'm lucky to be a part of the league.
Yeah, that is so true. You will see every different style, and you're right.
Yep.
Kip, what's your favorite place to not necessarily the team or the coach, but I think this is always a fun question. What's your favorite gym to play in on the road in the Northwest Conference?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because I haven't won there. I think I won there once as a player and maybe once as Gordy's assistant, but Whitworth, the field house up there, is such a big-time environment. They line the court. You know, they've got a great fan base and support network. So they've got seating on the floor, almost like an NBA game, and then it's always packed. It's always loud, and man, they're very good fans. They're very obnoxious fans, but I think you want that. You want that environment. You want that feel. In many ways, it's like what Linfield had with the Cat Pack in the early 2000s when Coach Doty was still down there. I remember playing them for the NWC Championship when I was a junior, and the place was wall-to-wall people, loud. They knew your name, number, your birth date, your girlfriend's name, and they weren't going to let you get out of there without hearing all about it. So anytime, you know, as hard as Whitworth has been to play at, you know, there's been some ugly games up there for us, and we lost the semifinals there this year as well. It's still a very, very fun atmosphere. It feels like college basketball. You know, as much as we love our home floor at Cone Fieldhouse, I enjoy going up to Whitworth and feeling like, hey, this is why we coach. This is why we're here. This is the big time of our league, and let's go out there and compete.
Speaking of Whitworth, I had a conversation with Coach Hayford, earlier tonight. But what makes and he kind of really started this. What mm-hmm. makes Whitworth so dominant, and what's it going to take to knock him out of that perch of pretty much dominating the Northwest Conference?
Well, all I can offer is theories, because obviously none of us have figured out for almost a decade what's going on. Well, I think it starts with coaching. I think, like you said, Jim Hayford did an amazing job. You know, they've always been very sound, and they've always been able to find the weaknesses of whatever team they're playing, and they really do a phenomenal job of exploiting it without getting out of who they are. You know, Gordy used to talk about, and we've shared that in our league now, they can beat you playing fast, they can beat you playing slow, they can be physical, or they can make threes. Well, that really doesn't leave a lot to pick on at the end of the day. And then I think they have a great support system. I think their athletic department from top to bottom, you know, whatever sport it is, whether it's the training staff all the way through the game day administration of their games, is committed to excellence. And I think a lot of us are chasing that model and are getting closer to it. But on the court, whether it was Coach Hayford or Coach Logie now, they haven't missed a beat since Matt took over. Sometimes it's been size and they're too damn big for you to stay with. And other times it's just been, man, that was a great plan they had to take us out of what we do. And you can never make mistakes against Whitworth. You make mistakes, you're going to pay for it. It's almost like 5-point swings. Every turnover is 2 points from you and a three for them. And pretty soon you're taking time out and the place is rattling. So definitely a mystery still. I feel like we've closed the gap, but there's still quite a ways we need to go to catch up.
Kip, I'm not name dropping here, but they just happen to be really close friends of mine, and they've got some talented sons, actually. Stan Love, of course, the father mm-hmm. of Kevin, and then yep. John Spolstra, the father of Eric. Both yep. really close friends of mine, and I appreciate them very much. But the reason I'm bringing it up is both those guys who know basketball, the fathers as well as the sons, always rave about the talent in the state of Oregon for such a small state. Mm-hmm. We really are a small state compared to the rest of the country. Basketball is pretty good in the state of Oregon, the high school level.
Oh, I agree. You know, it was fun this year. We had a chance. You know, they stretched out the tournament schedules for the 4A, 5A, 6A a little differently. So we actually had a chance. We didn't have to split up our staff and miss a day here or there. We can almost see every quarterfinal round, 4A through 6A. And I tell you what, it was an amazing experience. Aside from just seeing talent, you know, the passion for the game is great. You know, I was in the Century High School, and it was brim to brim for those 4A quarterfinals. It was a whole other environment in there. So, no, I think we're lucky. You know, there's a ton of talent. And like you mentioned, I think probably per capita, the amount of NBA guys we've got has got to be up there with some of the other states in the area. I think Washington's very similar and probably has even a better tradition NBA-wise with the Seattle guys. But we're lucky enough that if we do our homework, we should be able to find some talented kids and mix and match them with all the other states we're in. But I feel lucky to be having come from Montana. I can tell you that the Oregon pool is a lot deeper from when I grew up. So,
we're speaking with Kip Ione, the head men's coach at Willamette University. They're a member of the Division III Northwest Conference, and we're having a lot of fun tonight. I'm really enjoying this interview. Kip, you're a bright guy, obviously. People hear you talk. You're a successful basketball coach. What's wrong with the game of basketball? Maybe one or two things. And mm-hmm. I subscribe to the Jack Nicklaus theory that the glass is neither half full or half empty. It's who's pouring the water.
Yeah, hey, that's a great analogy. I love it. You know, I'm actually a big fan of the recent change to 30 seconds on the clock. You won't see us playing a super, super fast pace, but I don't want to call every set. I don't want the camera to be on me and me screaming and yelling at the guys. You know, I've got an assistant myself whose whole job is to grab me by the coattails and sit me down. You know, I really think basketball is a creatively free-flowing game. And if we do our work in practice, especially in our league, where we play Friday, Saturday, so I really have a football week Monday through Thursday to get these kids ready to play. If we do our job and we put them in space to make basketball plays, let's let them use their skill sets. Get out of the way. We don't want to make 87 passes just to get the ball to the right side. Let's make everybody a viable threat, work on their individual fundamentals, and then let them go out there and experience the game. So to be honest with you, I love the 30-second clock. I love the new adjustment for the media timeouts, that if we take one at 16:12, that we won't have to take another one at 16 just for the media. And I know that that's more prevalent in D1 because of the, you know, they're selling those spots a lot more than we are. But just stopping the flow of the game has always driven me insane. Whether that was myself ranting and raving, or that was, you know, a whistle from the officials or a timeout, I like the game up and down and letting the kids display what they worked on. You know, we all beg and prod them to get their butts in the gym and work on these skill sets. Well, let's let that work shine through. Sometimes I think we can kind of put the bit in their mouth, so to speak, and all these things that we've told them to work on, we don't even let them display it in the systems we run. So, you know, we've definitely been tried to be a little bit more open-minded in how we go about it offensively and worry more about getting the kid in space and letting what he's worked on shine through. Now, once again, they got to go do that work. But if they do, let's let them play and let's let the game flow a little bit better.
Thank you very much on the timeouts. I you know, get more emails and complaints from the Joe Average fan about the flow of the game. The flow of the game, it's terrible with that timeout.
Yep.
And you know what? They could really learn a lesson. They should learn a lesson from the NBA, the way they handle the timeouts and the rest of the game. They do a good job. And what's wrong with copying
it? Yeah, just watching the playoffs, you know, watching the playoffs for the NBA, you know, I'm always at the Final Four and the convention, and I went to the Portland first round of the NCAAs, and it's just such a different experience at a D1 men's game where it's just dead stop, dead stop, dead stop. And the NBA, they're just playing. They're just flowing, and it's such a big difference. So I 100% agree with you. I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I think it's gonna open some things up. And that's not to say we're going to go out there and hoist 75 threes and not pass the ball to each other, but I think it'll heighten kind of the sense of urgency some people have to have. And I think it'll increase the level of play because you're going to have to be dialed in.
Kip, I'm going to test you a little bit here, okay? You're always testing your players, the student-athletes.
Yep.
December 29th, 2009.
Okay.
Remember anything about that day?
December 29th, 2009. I'm assuming we were playing somewhere. 2009.
Yes, you were.
That's got to be my first year in the hot seat, I think, in the big chair, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, you made history that night.
Did we? Where were we?
Yes.
You got me. You got me. What is it?
You're the only game to be played that was played in 2 days.
Portland State when we walked the Sixth Avenue exit to get to the game. That was a fun. That was a heck of an experience. That was the snowstorm.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we. You know, we always try to – we're lucky enough to get some non-conference games with Division I's exhibition or counters, and that's always a great challenge for, you know, us or any other D3 to step up. And, hey, let's be on the big stage a little bit and see why these guys are on full rides and we're not. But, you know, the weather was horrible, and I think it took us 5.5 hours to get from Salem to Portland. So, obviously, we missed our scheduled tip-off time. So I called Coach Tyler from Portland State and said, hey, we're going to be late. But he said – there was a women's game that was supposed to tip before us, but Oregon State wasn't going to get there in time either for that tip. So whoever got there first was going to get their game to go first. So we got off right after I-5 comes into Portland.
And we got off and walked the 6th Street exit in the slush because we didn't have to worry about traffic. Nobody was going anywhere. It was the snow. Nobody had chains. So we walked. The bus driver looked at me like I was a little off. But I said, guys, you want to tip off before midnight? We got to get off and walk. Unfortunately, Oregon State's women's program got wind of us walking and beat us there by about 5 minutes. So we did tip off. What was it, 11 o'clock tip off?
Yeah, the game ended at 12:51.
Yep.
The next day,
we actually played
a.m.
really
and,
well that game.
Yeah, and I was at that game.
97-91. Were you really? You won a seven?
Yeah,
I think you and my parents might have been the only fans there.
Yeah, and it took me what was normally an hour trip. It took me 5 hours to get home that night.
Oh,
and
I
you're
remember.
Right, and it was unbelievable.
We actually I had some film of it. We sent it into D3Hoops.com just to tell them, hey, that you're right. No one's ever done this style of game. And then for us to play a D1, 97-91, for us to keep it close like that, I'm glad the date. I can't believe I forgot the date because that's a story my first team ever always tells, the Portland State Walk-a-thon, they call it.
And, the interesting part about it, Kip, you're right. I'm glad you brought up the score. It was a great college basketball game.
Yeah, we had, we were lucky enough that, and I think we played against Julius Thomas. Wasn't he playing for Hoops still then before he went
basketball? Yes, he was.
They were very talented coming off a tournament run. I think obviously we caught them at a great weird time. And Cameron Mitchell for us, who was a D3 all-region performer, had a great game. And our guys just really embraced being up that late, I guess.
And I think that was actually, I believe, Tyler's first year, too.
I think you're right.
As the head coach of Portland
State. Right. Yep, I think you're right. Absolutely. And he does
a great job. Yeah, it was really something. Kip, what drives you to coach basketball?
I think it's twofold. One, just it's kind of in my blood. My dad's a lifetime basketball coach. He's from American Samoa, actually, originally. Moved to Los Angeles when he was 10, went to East LA Junior College, and somehow they recruited a Samoan Islander to the snow in Montana. So we played at Eastern Montana College, which is now Montana State Billings, obviously in the GNAC. And he's been coaching ever since he got done playing. So he was a high school coach. He coached women's college basketball and then went back to high school. So I think I was around it so much that I've always kind of been a student of the game on top of loving to play. And then it's just the competition. Every day, whether I'm in my office, whether I'm watching film, whether I'm on the phone to recruit, it's like there's a scoreboard up, and I'm a guy that's driven by a competition. I think that's what keeps me in it, and I love that it's – being a Willamette lifer like I kind of am, having played there, assisted there, I'm a head coach there now, it's always been us Bearcats against everybody else, and that scoreboard resets to zero every day, and we got another chance to go do something great, whether it's in camp or whether it's in a, are we doing this right on this email we're sending. I think that keeps me motivated and pushing through.
What, do you plan to be at Willamette to close out your career? And I realize there's never a never an ending.
Right.
Is that something you would like to do it in this thought pattern in the present day?
Yeah. Well, I think all of us coaches, there's an ego part of this business where you'd like to see what you could do at a bigger level. But at the same time, I'm very, very content at Willamette, given how much it's given me as a person, as a student, as a player, now as a coach, how patient the university's been with me. And we're not done yet, with the goals we've set for ourselves internally, with my players and my staff, who I owe a lot of my success to. We've got a lot of things we want to accomplish. So to be honest with you, my wife, number one, would probably hang me if I even mentioned moving anywhere else. We've got three kids. We live across from their elementary school. Sometimes the grass isn't always greener. You can be tempted, but I've got I'm a pretty lucky individual to do what I do and do it at a place that I really believe in. And have so since Gordy James was in my living room in 1997, crying and convincing my mom that's where I should go. So, like I said, like you said, never say never, but I'm very, very happy being the head coach of the Bearcats.
Obviously, when you're at a school that's such high academic standards, for the most part, and this would go for any school in the Northwest Conference, you're not really worried about your athletes on your team studying that much of the academic side. But Do you often have to deal with that? I mean, not struggling.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. You know, I think you can get, you know, when I was younger, I think you kind of take it for granted. Well, heck, the kid's a 3.85, a great SAT, he's going to be fine. But what you find at Willamette is, it's a very, you know, like you said, a lot of schools in our conference are very similar. It's a challenge. It's a challenge for a kid that's always gotten A's and probably done it very easily to suddenly be hit in the face by a very, very good professor that's not going to just hand them an A. So the thing that we've got to make sure our guys know, it's almost like a game plan. Like, if this happens, then you do this. They've got to know if you're struggling, it's not a sign of weakness to go to the Learning Center. Willamette has a phenomenal Learning Center. Matt Barrero does a great job as the director. And there's so many resources, whether it's a writing center, a tutor, a study note taking class, whatever it may be. But to get our young kids especially to figure out, hey, it's not a sign of weakness. I'm not an idiot suddenly. I just need to figure out this college thing to go over there and get help. And once they do that and kind of figure out how to do the job at college, you know, the way they're used to their whole life, getting the success, once they figure out their kind of methodology, then they're fine. You're right. I don't have to worry about my juniors and seniors very often. But I do worry, and our staff pays a lot of attention to our freshmen and our sophomores and making sure they're creating the habits they need to make sure they stay good students.
Kip, you know, anybody that's ever been in the Northwest Conference knows the great run that Linfield had in the late 60s and 70s under Ted Wilson. But one thing probably people don't know, and I'm going to ask you a question about Willamette in this regard, was the great support that the faculty at Linfield, there was probably 50 faculty members at every game. Do you find the same at Willamette, or is it the times have changed there's more things to do?
No, I think part of that, you're absolutely right. There's so many things happening that you don't get. Obviously, at 50, like you said, that's an amazing number. If we had that, I'd probably pass out. I'd be so happy. But what we do have is the recognition of how important that is to try to establish some version of that connection with our faculty. Because, you know, we have great professors at Willamette dedicated to their job. As much as I am to mine. And so I think that one of the things that Coach Peg Swadner and some other coaches on our staff, Peg is the women's coach at Willamette, developed a faculty liaison program that we have now, where all of us have a faculty rep that's just with us. Like, hey, come see our team meeting. Come to practice. Let's come over to do a team dinner. Come on a road trip with us, and let us show you this side of the students that you don't get to see. They get to see our kids in the classroom that we don't see, but let's come see why they might be tired one day. Come see the demands on their time, and then we can hopefully have a better dialogue on how we can help each other. Because at the end of the day, we both have the same goal. How are we going to make this student-athlete's experience in the classroom, in the basketball court, in the dorms, the best possible? And I think the only way you can do that is you both operate from the same level of knowledge. And so hopefully this liaison program that's really connected, you know, women's softball did it, swimming did it at Willamette, women's basketball did it. We're jumping on board this year, baseball's jumping on board, I believe football's jumping on board. So the more faculty we can get in to see kind of our day-to-day, I think the more we can get towards what you're speaking of and how great of an atmosphere that can create on campus, not just at the games, but just in the day-to-day connections that we have. At, you know, we're all at Spark Center at Willamette. We don't want to be this isolated castle on one side of the campus. We want to make sure we're in and involved with everybody on campus.
Kip, you know, I'm on the back nine here in my life, and I don't need to have any limelight. I've had a very fortunate time, but I've been doing this interviewing stuff since I was 10 years old and
Holy
worked
cow.
For the Selwood Bee in Selwood, and I'll be eligible for Medicare this year. So that says right there,
get out
people
of here.
Can do the math. You're one of the best interviews I've ever done on
hey,
any level,
it.
So
you're
I appreciate
me,
it tonight.
Great questions. Yeah.
And I'm just not saying that.
It.
Thanks for being on, and we'll have you on again.
Absolutely. Let me know.
You betcha. Good night, Kip. Good
All
night,
right,
listeners. Thanks for listening, and hope you enjoyed Coach Ione tonight, and we'll bring him back, and we'll be back next Tuesday night at 10 o'clock. Greg Crawford on Sports Business. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to make all your free throws, and don't forget to support sports no matter what level. Good night, everyone.